Hello, everybody. My name is Lat Mackey, and this is Sequence Break IL, a look back at conversations with speedrunners, developers, content creators, and everything in between. Today's episode, going to be looking back at a conversation I had with Shoujo. And if you're not familiar, you may be now after watching SGDQ 2022. Shoujo is one of the most top-level Mario Maker, Mario runners I've ever seen. And it extends past just the Mario genre of games. Basically anything I've ever seen her play, she just has this ability to play video games at a level that I can only kind of dream of, which I know it's kind of silly. It's video gaming, right? But every time I watch a Shoujo stream or I watch her play, it's like aspirational. I wish I could play games at that level. And when I first became familiar with her gameplay and all those kind of things was actually watching her play Fall Guys, of all things. And I mentioned it in the original conversation. I think it's episode 42 is the original one. Yes, that's correct. And she was playing, I think it was Grand Pooh Bear's Fall Guys tournament. I can't remember exactly what the exact one was, but there was something about her approach and her style and her competitiveness that you could just kind of tell that she had skills that not all of us are able to perform at or able to possess, you know? And so immediately I wanted to kind of understand and see what her approach is to gaming, because I think that's something, at very least, you know, even if we're not able to, I'll talk about myself, even if I'm not able to play the game, any game at the level that she does, maybe I can take some of those qualities that she values or that she, you know, has aspirations towards and apply them to my own gaming. And I think that's one of the great things I got out of the conversation with her. I was very fortunate to have some time with her, and she gave some time. I can't remember if this was right before or right after she had been partnered. So in like her streaming career, it was kind of in a really interesting spot. And she even gave us a little insight. The clip I'm going to share today is a little bit on her background and how the Yoshi hats and all that kind of stuff came to be. But then also, like, how do you go about gaming at this level? Like, what does it take? What kind of hours do you have to put in? Because I find that stuff still to this day endlessly fascinating. One of the things that is important to speedrunning is, you know, not the just the amount of time you spend with the game, but how you actually spend that time as well. I think, you know, my own gaming, I don't have very much time to dedicate to gaming. Quite often when I do a stream, it's anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. It's not a long period of time. And so how to be as efficient and maximize that potential as possible, especially when it comes to speedrunning, is something I still think of like on a day-to-day basis. And other times it's just fun. How can you have fun with games for a couple hours? But that process of working towards something, I've still to this day like to explore and find out how others do, especially people like Shoujo who just executes on such a high level. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you want to listen to the full or watch the full episode, it's in the description, it's in the notes, feel free. And hope you enjoy the chat. Here it is, Shoujo. The first thing I got to ask about is the hats, because it's the first thing that I see when I stop by your stream. Could you do it? Are these something that you make? Is your how did this end up on the top of your head?
So a while ago, I had so I'm known for really liking Yoshis. Basically, Yoshi is kind of my thing. There are a lot of people that like Grand Pooh Bear that, you know, kill the Yoshis. They're only for getting an extra jump. For me, I love Yoshi. Yoshi's a fantastic companion in Mario. So a while back, I had a viewer who was like, "Hey, I found a Yoshi hat. Would you let me buy it for you?" And I said, "Okay, so I'll take a look." And he linked me to Etsy. And I'm just like, "Yeah, this looks cool. I will wear it if you buy it." So he did, and it got sent to me, and I made it a channel points reward until eventually it became a big enough part of the stream where I just started wearing it because chat was like, "You should just wear it all the time."
I'm curious, like, kind of your journey. Is it speedrunning first or is it streaming first? Like, how do you end up playing some of these crazy levels that you've ended up doing the last couple of years?
So I really started, I didn't do anything super wild like Kaizo or anything early on. I got my first inspirations during, I would say, sort of YouTube era, where just a lot of uploads would be happening. So people were definitely more familiar with YouTube. Panga uploaded a video about Skyzo, which was a really hard Kaizo in Super Mario Maker 1. And that video kind of set into motion, like, oh, you know, I really want a Wii U because I didn't have one. So it's just like, I should get a Wii U to play Smash 4 and Mario Maker. And Skyzo kind of encouraged me to play a lot of different stages that were sort of just Kaizo based.
That's it's off because that's actually come up a couple different times on the podcast. The Beast was talking about it as well, where it's like there are certain levels that have kind of stuck out as far as Mario Maker, like levels that people still remember to this day. And Skyzo comes up quite often. What was it about Skyzo? I'm curious, that like caught your imagination or something that you just kind of what was it that got to you?
I think it just happened to be one of the more popular videos, and it was one of the first ones that I saw. Sort of diving into a rabbit hole of just like different Mario videos. And it just stuck with me as like the first video that I saw that incorporated a bunch of really cool looking tricks into a stage.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, what were you playing before Mario Maker, before you saw that video, before you experienced some of that stuff?
I don't really think that there was any one game that I was interested in. It was probably not even platforming related. I think maybe just Minecraft around that time.
Perfect.
Which is funny because I don't even like Minecraft anymore.
And it's still going strong. I mean, there's still a vibrant community around Minecraft, to say the least. So I'll be honest with you. I just recently saw you, I think it was just a couple weeks ago, on Fall Mania. And one of the things that stuck out to me right away was your gameplay and your approach. Obviously, you're a competitor. That was obvious right off the bat. But then secondly, like the level of gameplay, in my opinion, I know there's a fair amount of RNG in the game, but the level of gameplay just really struck me, apparently. Like, you've got this high level of skill that, by the way, I wish I had. And so when I went down the rabbit hole of watching all of your videos, and now I'm seeing your approach to Mario Maker and all these things, have you always kind of approached gaming that way, or is that something that you've been developing, you know, more recently in the last couple of years?
So being competitive is not something that I was initially interested in. I would say it was, well, rather, I you know what? I would say that my upbringing was competitive. I would say that I was competitive. Yeah. But it didn't relate to video games until around Smash 4 / Mario Maker specifically. I didn't care much in terms of video games.
Emily, you're interviewing a Minecraft player. She just said, no, I'm just kidding. Sorry, just kidding. No, that's a fair point. So what is it about Mario Maker that brought out some of that competitiveness, you think?
I think it was just a desire to be really good at the game. And I feel like when you're striving to be good, there is an automatic element of competitiveness that shows up, trying to be one of the best. So you have to sort of, you know, compete against some of the best players for things like world records, for levels that you've beaten, the hardest level that you've beaten, stuff like that.
That's one of the things that basically every speedrunner that's been on the podcast has talked about this, though. But the competitiveness, it's something within you that you're striving for yourself to be better and better and better. What do you think it is about like Mario Maker that really like enables that? And especially when the first one came out.
Mario Maker specifically is, there are just a bunch of different game modes. So GSA hosted their Expert League, which just shows you can get competitiveness out of levels of a specific difficulty. And I would argue Kaizo isn't a difficulty so much as a category, but inside of that category, there are a bunch of difficulty levels. And the further up you go, the more wild these levels become. So it's just like, the harder levels you beat also tend to be the coolest.
And they're also, by the way, great to watch. Watching some of these crazy, Skyzo being one of them, just seeing the video of that, it's still kind of insane and blows the mind today. Your first time then, once you picked up, after watching a Skyzo video and some of these other ones, you picked up your Wii U and you played Mario Maker. What do you think the first couple times you played through it? Is it an instant thing where you're like, oh man, I dig it? Or was it something that took a little time to develop?
It took time. I think I started out definitely just doing some casual building stuff, but I latched onto Kaizo pretty quick, especially because I wanted to try Skyzo really early, and I'm pretty sure it's the first level that I actually beat.
That's crazy. The first one? Are you serious?
I wanted to beat that one.
How long did it take you?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
That's wild. Well, congrats. That's unreal. I can't even believe that. That's crazy. So at some point, do you decide that you start streaming it, or was it one of those things where you started streaming it right away?
I eventually decided to start streaming it because I discovered Twitch and I was like, hey, there are a bunch of people on here doing Mario stuff. So I feel like I could do it. So I was interested in making YouTube videos and eventually it went to streaming and it was just like, I'll give it a shot. So I did viewer levels when I started streaming Mario Maker.
Yeah, one of the things I'm always curious about, is it tough like streaming levels like of that difficulty level? Because the levels look so, even today, I mean, every level just looks more tougher the more I see of them. I'm curious if it's challenging to stream something that is that hard.
Kind of. There's a lot of nerves that come in when you have a bunch of people watching you play these levels. So I think in that sense where it's, you know, too afraid to mess up or you don't want anybody to think that you're bad at the game if you mess up a trick or anything like that, it does get difficult because you just feel like people are going to judge you regardless.
Right.
But just playing it is something that I've practiced so much that that's not really the hard part anymore.
It's obvious you've put in a lot of hours on it, especially watching your stream nowadays. It doesn't even look like some of these levels are challenging for you. I know they are, but you make it look so easy. It still kind of blows my mind.
Thanks everyone for listening and watching. If you're enjoying the podcast, please feel free, subscribe, like, leave a comment, all that stuff people say at the end of a video. It honestly all goes a long way to help the podcast. Thank you so much. If you want to join us on Discord, we chat mostly about food, but occasionally we do talk about the stuff that's in the podcast. The link is in the show notes or in the description. Feel free. Come on by, join us. If you want to follow on Twitter, Sequence Break PC. Sequence Break PC. I post when I go live. It's kind of not at a set time. So if you want to see the live feed of the podcast, feel free, follow there. And finally, if you want to email podcast@sequencebreakpodcast.com. Sequencebreakpodcast.com is also where you can find the backlog of all of the episodes. It's also on YouTube as well. So feel free, join in, have some fun. Thank you so much. I will see you in the next one.